Welcome to Wild, Women in Lending Determined to Make an Impact. I'm your host, Robin Lavasser. They say our biggest fear isn't being inadequate. It's being powerful beyond measure. In this podcast, I will share how to break through imaginary ceilings, lean into success, discovering your purpose, and understanding how to create the business and life of your dreams. From failures to triumphs and all the tactics in between, let's jump into the wild arena together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Wild Women in Lending, Determined to Make a Difference. I'm your host, Robin Lavasser, and so excited. Gosh, today I am literally going to talk to you about managing your database. I know it's not a super sexy topic if we're being honest, but it is so underutilized in lending. And I think that a lot of people think that they really are managing their database. What people don't realize is that managing it is not just sending out the be sure to remind yourself that daylight savings is coming or Merry Christmas or it's a holiday and we all know it's Martin Luther King. Maybe do you want, you know, your homebot presentation? I think that's what we rest on, if you will, is all the technology that can drip to your clients. Nothing. And y'all aren't going to like it, but I just want to say it out loud. Nothing can replace an actual conversation that is specific to a client. Now, while marketing is incredibly important and tools are awesome and making sure that you're staying present and at least they can see, hey, here was an email and here's the name attached to it. And maybe there's some familiarity there. It is so hypercritical that you actually work your database. I didn't for so long. And if there's one thing that I would tell you in lending in general is that if I could go back and redo my first 6 years as a lender with my last 10 years as a lender, I'd probably be more than done already. I wouldn't be because I'm a nut job and I love the industry and I can't imagine not showing up to work every day. But I thought at the time that I was decent with my database. And when I say decent, it was like mail a Christmas card. You know, these are the good old days where there wasn't email and all these automations. You know, what are they? If you're somebody that's listening to this and you've been in the business for a very long time, you know, like ACT was like the database guru at the time. And then everybody kind of played off of that. All of those things, we used to get a borrower, take care of them, have a great closing, snail mail them, maybe a copy of their closing statement with a letter at the end of the year. And then everything else was potentially maybe a Christmas card or you paid for a card service that would go out to them in the mail. And that was it. That's all anybody did. And then if they needed something, the anticipation was that they would call you. If we're being honest with ourselves, that hasn't changed. We still rely on technology. We still rely on just dripping. And then if they need something, they'll call. And I think the conversation with that is that we kind of say, as what I believe is my own excuses. So feel me on this. If you're giving yourself this excuse, I hope that you can own this in this moment. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to disrupt. What if they don't remember me? What if it's been a couple of years? What if it wasn't a great experience and I can't remember it? What if they weren't happy? And so we write, it's so interesting what we do with our own thoughts, right? We often, when we don't know the outcome of something, it feels vulnerable. And we don't generally write a beautiful outcome in our heads. We actually write all the reasons it might not work. And then we find ourselves pulling backwards. What if you thought of it differently? What if you thought about database management differently? And when I think about database management, I think I want to say out loud to my clients, you know, there used to be a slogan that came, a lot of people started using it. Again, I'm going to date myself a little bit. I've been, you know, licensed origination since 04 in the business since 97. Clients for life. What does that mean? I plan on being here for as long as you can find me. I plan on being here if you call me. I'll take care of you anytime you need me. What does client for life mean? And what I would say to that is that I think that if you think for a second about all industries, if you will, financial advisement, CPAs, insurance agents, business settings, how many of them do you feel like if you take a step back right now and just give yourself a roster of the people that are involved in your life and your financing and your financial decisions and your wealth building, and you take inventory, how many of them do you feel like you're in an actual relationship with? How many of them do you believe actually care and think about you on a frequent enough basis that they want to check in and give you some valuable information, but make sure that they are fully up to speed on what information they have from you so that they know you're in the best possible position. Whenever I think about that, It's always astounding to me how few actually do that work at a high level. And then I think, oh gosh, I'm actually one of them. I'm one of them that didn't do that work at a high level. What a miss. And so I want to walk you through, and I don't have anybody sitting with me. It's just me. So I apologize if you're going to get tired of my voice, but I want to go through with you what it would sound like to actually call a borrower, do a database call, and what you would say. And I'm going to give you a few different steps and try not to jump around too much, but it is the phone in general is an underutilized tool these days. It's text messages, it's email. And while those things are great and they might produce some results, to really understand the facts about somebody's life, you have to have, maybe you could do a little bit on text, but I guarantee you there's some things missing. But more importantly, to understand the feelings that they are having, for sure, that is not conveyed on a text or on an email. It never will be. It's always based on voice inflection and generally body language in general, which is where a Zoom or a face-to-face appointment would follow suit from your actual phone calls. And so here's what I believe is the proper maintenance steps that absolutely changed my business. Again, going to a top 50 women producer in the country, it was simply staying with basics, but then getting so comfortable in them that I never thought to myself, I have to go do this. I thought I get to go take care of my clients for life, right? I get to go be exactly what I said I was going to be. So what are those steps? One, for sure, talking to the client the day the loan closes. Talking to the client the day the loan closes. Having the conversation about what their next steps are. When are you moving in? Are you relieved? How is everything? Any feedback that I could learn and grow from, right? Like really talking to the client for a few minutes. That is such a simple step. Even if you were at the closing table, it doesn't matter. When you can get them by yourself without the escrow officer, without or the attorney, the closing attorney, you can get them without the agent and you can literally have a conversation with them about their future, reiteration of gratitude, and again, receiving feedback and then setting the stage. That's the most pivotal moment to set the stage. Now, I know that people think, when do you have time to do all these things? That's another podcast. It's a different day. It's a different time to time block and how you get it all done. Now, the truth is this phone call is probably 3 minutes. So if you have 1, 2, 3, 4 fundings a day, that would be, man, you are one heck of a producer. You're probably not listening to this, that you're talking about 12 minutes of phone calls, 12 minutes in your whole day of talking to somebody who just finally got the keys to their home. Maybe their first investment property, their second home, maybe they're working on a refinance, right? You finally get to just talk to them without any pressure or expectation. That's magic. So that's step one. Step two, during that call, you're going to tell them that you are going to call them sometime around the 30-day mark. Now, when I say sometime, no longer than the 30-day mark, maybe a little bit less, right? Maybe it's day 29 or 28, doesn't have to be exact, but you're going to call them with a one-month check-in. If you say that out loud, there's two things that happen. One, you set an expectation with them, but even more importantly, you actually give yourself accountability to make that phone call. When you call them, you don't ever feel like you're bothering them or interrupting them. You feel like you're following through on a commitment that you made to them. What a difference that makes. And so when you call them, you're literally going to do just that. Hey, I told you I'd check in. Can you believe it's already been a month? How are things going? They might have tons of questions for you. You could talk about things like the junk mail and the spam and the text messages they're going to get. And that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I've always gotten some crazy thing in the mail that says you forgot to get a copy of your deed. Please send money for $96 or something like that. And people don't speak fluent mortgage. You do. And so you want to make sure that you're their resource and that you're able to actually help them through those steps of what comes after the closing. Lots of information. Did you get your actual servicing packet? Do you know where to make your first payment? All the questions. And then tell me about the house. Tell me how it feels, right? Anything changed? Better than it seemed? All of those things. And I'm going to close out with, again, gratitude and then setting the stage for the next call. And so that might look something like this. Hey, Robin, I have really enjoyed working with you. Thank you for taking my call today or calling me back if they did. Always want them to call you back. As much as we can leave everything under the sun on a voicemail, you guys, nothing creates actual energy than live conversations. The best is face-to-face. The secondary is Zoom. The next is a phone call for sure. So hearing voice inflection, making sure that you can actually listen and have conversation, ask deeper questions, far far, far outweighs what a voicemail will do. So don't get lazy on this. Get intentional with it because it will make such a big difference in the business. So as you're talking to them, you're going to do that. Of course, you're going to add some closing in there. And it's going to be a, hey, I'm almost sad that it's been 30 days without doing business with you. Who do you know? Because I know that anybody that's like great, has great friends, great family, I want to take care of them. Who do you know? They might say, I know somebody, I know nobody. The secret in that statement as you are closing that call is the pause, the power of the pause. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to just freeze for a minute. Who do you know? I know that feels weird, right? Even that awkward silence, you're like, did my podcast cut out? No, it didn't. But that pause makes someone lean in and they start thinking, who do I know? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Hey, that's okay. Would you mind doing this for me? Would you mind just spreading my name around? They'll do it. They will 100% do it, right? They will make sure that they refer you people. And then I'll say, hey, as we close out, I just want to give you kind of the next check-in point. I promise you I'm not a stage 5 clinger. I'm not always going to be calling you. But if anything major happens in the market conditions, one, feel free, all things mortgage, whether it's connections to people that can do things for the house for you, CPAs, financial advisors, business professionals in general, or just questions about market conditions, debt load, all of those things. I want to make sure that you know you have absolutely a reciprocal channel to reach out. And my team and I are more than willing to help on all things that you need real estate and mortgage related. So please know you're never bothering us. We'd love to hear from you. Aside from that, I'm going to check in at a minimum next on your annual review with if anything major has happened in the marketplace, I would be calling you within about 6 months and giving you a quick market update. The annual review is really the important one because I want to review with you everything from has anything happened in life that would cause need for you to think, I need a resource for money. I need to lower my expenses. I need more of a tax write-off. I want to invest and continue to grow wealth through real estate, investing, all different things. I had a job change. I have a potential relocation. All the things in life that happen. And then obviously a review of the terms of your loan, if you're still sitting in the very best spot, and if you know all the options based on updated guidelines, updated market conditions. When I say that to them, again, I'm giving them a commitment. I'm giving myself a commitment and permission, if you will, with accountability to make sure that I make that annual review phone call and that we cover all of these things. If they know, hey, this was pretty short and sweet, right? Maybe 3 to 5 minutes. It was personal. It was connected. And it was really focused on them. You will not only become a trusted advisor to them, but they will pick up your phone call. They will return your phone call. And they will for sure think to themselves, you've got to use Robin. That's the lender you want to use because what she says she's going to do, she actually is doing, and we're in a relationship. Now, I will tell you, it took me a long time to find an insurance agent that actually did annual reviews and 6-month check-ins. It took me a long time to find financial advisors that stayed incredibly connected to me. It took me a long time to have a CPA who wants to sit down prior to tax season, wants to check in on me at the end of the year, and then also wants to meet before my taxes are officially done to make sure nothing is missing. It is okay for all consumers to demand great service, great expertise, great experiences. And the truth is, there isn't a wide range of cost difference. And if there is, it should be at the extreme sacrifice of somebody who simply wants to give you a transaction. One of the things that I see all the time right now and that I've been guilty of in the past is just being a transactional loan officer, not making someone a client for life, not holding myself accountable, wondering why they didn't call me, right? I was talking to one of our great branch managers the other day and we were having this conversation about managing database. And I always love stories because I think they hit home. And so I'll close with this. He did the first house for this wonderful couple that he really enjoyed and has known them for a very long time. And they happen to all go to the same church and they were going to different services. And so they just hadn't run into each other. And he finally ran into them not more than a few weeks ago. And when he ran into them, he, you know, good to see you. How are you? Anything new? And they said, we're so excited. We're so happy. We just bought a new home. And jokingly, he said, you know, we're in church. Otherwise, I would have tackled them. But he really felt like so disappointed that they had not called him. And in a moment, I think that we actually have some entitlement around our past clients. I think we have some entitlement, like, I did such a good job. Why wouldn't they remember me forever? Why wouldn't they call me? Why don't they know that I do HELOCs and second mortgages and can help them with these things? Why don't they know it? We have to earn it, you guys. We have to earn it not only with our actions, but also with our expertise and our commitment, if you will, to our clients. And that actually doesn't take more time in the business. What it gives you is time that you actually enjoy with outcomes that actually provide the income and the results that you are craving. The two go hand in hand. And once I got out of my own head of thinking, I do kind of manage my database, or it won't work, or this would be awkward, and just started dialing and connecting with people and being interested in them and their stories and what they needed, and if there was anything I could do, the go-giver mentality, the find the need, fill a need, managing my database became something that I craved every single day, because familiarity with those people, hearing the updates on their stories, knowing that we were in an actual client for life relationship made my career so much more rewarding that it was very easy to get out of bed, get into the office, pick up the phone, and be excited to serve. So I hope that that helps. Obviously, you would take that system and you would put it on repeat and then just annual review, annual review, annual review with the reminders of things, maybe a couple client events a year, which is again, a different podcast. But I hope this helps you in database management in general, and that if you haven't been in touch with your database recently, the easiest thing to do is to start and simply say, I'm sorry if you don't remember me. I'm sorry I haven't kept in better touch. Be quiet for a minute and then start asking questions and engaging in relationship again. Because I promise you, very few people follow I'm sorry with a hang up or don't ever call me again type of mentality. So don't be scared. Instead, get passionate. We'll see you soon.